something went on here, something went on there. And
this week on TNT,
we play a brand new game called Burton for Certain.
We recap our show at the Royal Cinema with the Sklar Brothers, a live podcast.
And Jeremy tries to guess what's in my Platinum Edition romance kit in my hotel room. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hola.
Episode 65. And it's going to be a gooder. We have lots to talk about. I'll start by saying I'm in Las Vegas again, but this time I'm at the Red Rock Casino, and it's 12 miles from the Strip. So you can see the Strip in the distance, but you're not kind of consumed by the mayhem.
I love it.
Also, by the time you're hearing this, I'll be home. And in the meantime, there are vicious piranhas swimming around the basement level of my home, so don't even think about it.
That's right. There always is when you're not there. Just like when I leave, my brother comes over.
Yeah, the expert in Jeet Kune Do, right?
Yes.
It's warmer in Nova Scotia today than it is here for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, there's crazy wind action. Plus, there's a deluxe intimacy kit in this room.
Oh.
And I want you to guess the contents of that a little later.
Yeah, and we're going to play a Burton for Certain, a new game. That'll be fun.
It starts
too.
With the name. The name Burton for Certain is already good.
It is, for sure.
It might be better than the game itself. We'll find out.
Celebrating Burton's Hall of Fame and Juno special, closing the Junos this year.
I was telling somebody your Kim Mitchell story. Oh, Mike O'Neill of Inbred's fame.
Yeah,
who,
nice.
As a little PSA, we play in this country band called Miniature Ponies. If you find yourself in Halifax April 12th, Miniature Ponies are playing a benefit for the Carlton, which is a great listening room and where we had our show.
Yep.
Shows when you were in Halifax.
It was a great time.
Run by Mike Campbell of Mike and Mike's fame.
Yep.
Much music staple, and there's so much construction in downtown Halifax that a lot of the businesses have been having trouble. Like, I forget if it's 60% of their yearly income comes from, like, the summer patio styles, but it's been so dusty and noisy and concrete girder-y that a lot of small businesses are on the ropes. So if you want to hear some country covers and you're in Halifax, April 12th at the Carlton, $10 at the door. There you go.
Love it. Love it.
So I was telling O'Neill about Kim Mitchell in the chicken suit saying you guys plow. That was at the Junos, right?
Yeah, that was. I think that was in Ottawa.
And you feeling the guy's hair was also at the Junos, wasn't it?
The guy's hair?
The sneaky hair hug when you thought he had...
Oh,
well, maybe it wasn't
yeah.
a hug, but you thought he had plugs or a piece,
well,
you weren't sure.
A wigsy. I wasn't sure. It was for certain that this guy wore a wig and I was banged up. I believe it was my 27th birthday.
Was it?
Yeah. I was about to turn 28. And it was at the Junos and I was really banged up and I tried to pull off his wig and it wasn't a good move.
He was like, "What are you doing?"
Remember that scene in that Canadian-made film, The Peanut Butter Solution? Remember that back in the 80s?
No.
It was the kid who kept who went bald all of a sudden and figured out a way from some witch to grow hair back, but the hair grew, like, ridiculous, and he had, like, super long hair and had to keep cutting it all the time. But there was this one scene when he was bald. I think he's on a soccer field, and a kid pulls off his hair, his wig, and it's, like, all sticky underneath, and it's pretty greasy. Classic Canadian.
That sounds like a Gordon Corman joint.
I think it might be.
Hey? Have we talked about Gordon Corman before? I love Bruno and Boot so much, and it's becoming a series. I'm really excited.
That's fantastic.
Did you read him? Like, Bugs Potter Live at Nick and Ninny? And, yeah,
yes.
It's great.
Yeah, no, I was a big Gordy Corman fan.
For us lay people... When you go to the Junos and you're in a band, is it kind of fun and a chance to hang out and see other bands and whatever, or is the weekend a bit of a drag?
Yeah, it's fun to see the friends and the community, for sure. I've always had a good time. The show itself was a little on the more boring side, but that's why you get all lubed up.
Is it more exciting if you're playing, or more exciting if you're just sitting in the audience?
Well, it depends, because when you're playing, you're busier. When you're not, you're just sitting around. It tends to be a little more boring, but it's more relaxing when you're hanging out with buds. When you get to...
You guys pulled one of the all-time great switcheroos at the Junos, right?
Yeah, we were supposed to play, I think, Starseed or something, and we played a brand new song that we'd never played before, and it went over not so good with the guy with the glasses and the big hair. Didn't like it one bit, and we never came back after that.
Is that true?
Yeah, that was the end of OLP at the Junos, I think.
Song you played? Do you remember?
We did a new song called Not Afraid that never really came out, so it was extra not a good idea, Al.
Do you remember anyone pulling you aside and saying, like...
No, it was like nobody said anything, so it was even worse. It was probably one of those, like,
that's so sneaky.
It's fucking it for those boys.
So maybe, for all the rehearsals and all the meetings beforehand, it was going to be Starseed, and then just during the live broadcast, you switched it out.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's rock and roll, man.
Well, it's rock and roll, but it's also not smart. It worked for Elvis Costello. It didn't work for us on SNL.
When did he do that?
He did that on SNL, and he was banned, apparently, for playing, but he got more press for doing that than anything anyway, so whatever salad.
Remember Sinead O'Connor, Fight the Real Enemy?
Yeah, that was a good idea.
She ripped a picture of the Pope?
Yeah.
That was silent.
It was intense. It was. A lot of hatred in that ripping going on.
There sure was.
Sinead had aggression going on. She was hardcore.
Yeah, she did.
Well, is hardcore.
Hey, I think she was the first woman I ever saw that had a crew. Oh, I guess Annie Lennox probably had one before her.
Yeah, the These Dreams video.
Yeah. Annie Lennox gave an incredible eulogy.
Whenever you say Annie Lennox, I picture you with the headphones on, listening
on my bike.
Hey, J-Rock! Hey, J-Rock! Doobie-doobie-doo!
What's that, guys? Oh, yeah. Hey, how are you? That's exactly what you'd imagine J-Rock would be listening to. Speaking of J-Rock, season 10 of Trailer Park dropped this week.
Yeah.
And a lot of the buds that listen to the podcast are saying, hey, man, Salvatore's. Yeah. I'll be right on the show.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Every day I get a tweet, somebody saying how much they think it's hilarious. And then I watched it. I believe it's the Corey Bowles directed episode where he first makes his appearance, and it was very funny. I thought it was pretty classic.
Well, this was kind of the... I can speak about it now because it's been under wraps since we wrote it a year ago and shot it last summer. The idea that J-Rock is obviously someone who lacks a personality of his own, so that's why he's appropriated rap culture, and in the... Christmas special that was sort of a prequel, he was grunge. So there was kind of a history of J-Rock kind of trying to find a personality through pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And when, I guess I probably had Salvatore's on the brain.
Yes.
When we were in the writer's room and I was kind of talking like that, and we thought, what if J-Rock went to Cancun for a week and came back with an accent? Because we all know people that kind of do that, like, speak with a British accent because they went there for a week in grade 11 on
like
a trip.
Like Madonna when she moved there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm probably the first to do it because I like accents, obviously, and speaking like that.
I think I heard Bryan Adams doing that with his London accent.
Faux English?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I probably didn't do it a little bit when I'm down south with the y'alls and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working in an American corporate environment when I'm here, and a lot of people start sentences with the word so. Like, how long have you been with the company? So, in 1999, I was at X company, and I moved to Y company, like, answering questions with the word so. So, I found myself doing that a lot this week. So, the idea that J-Rock would go... So, the idea that he would go to Cancun and come back with an accent was a total buy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I wasn't really... couldn't quite figure out was... why wouldn't Julian say, what are you doing, man? Shut up. That's stupid. Where's J-Rock? Stop talking like that.
Yeah.
So then we had the idea that J-Rock would meet a woman and get married and come back. And the idea that she didn't know he wasn't Spanish that was the final piece of the puzzle where it's like, okay, so he's putting on a front in front of her.
Makes all the sense.
So he can talk like this when she's around. And when she's not, he can be like, dog, she don't know. You know what I'm saying? You got to cover for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of more plausible because otherwise it's just straight stunty for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that selfishly cracks me up a lot is obviously J-Rock knows how to speak English. Obviously he's pretending to speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he call her him?
Yeah.
Like, I would like for you to meet him. Like, well, you wouldn't suddenly get personal pronouns wrong. Like, it's just next level dumb stuff.
It is.
But I'm really pleased that that so many buds watch Trailer Park Boys and they're digging the accent as kind of in two ways, hopefully, as J-Rock and as a Salvatore's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that people weren't like, okay, what are you doing? Where's J-Rock? That's so stupid. People seem to dig it. Because it was a bit risky. It's a little out there.
It is. It's a classic, though. They were on Jimmy Kimmel a couple nights ago, and they actually got that Toronto dump trending in the States. I thought that was pretty funny. Ricky, just, that was classic Ricky right there.
One of the lines that Ricky has in season 10, I haven't watched it yet, but one of the lines is two turnips in heat instead of it's time to turn up the heat.
Oh my God.
Like, people love that stuff, and a toe to so is maybe my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks it's a sound, not a word. A toe to so, Julian. A toe to so. He's a very funny comic performer.
He really is. So we did the Sklar Brothers live podcast last week at the Royal Cinema in Toronto. How fun was that? That was a great
time.
It
was really fun. It was kind of a unique experience for me because I called in. And I guess, did you literally hold the phone up to the mic?
Yes, you called my phone and I was holding it to the mic on speakerphone. And that's how we did the interview. And we had, it actually worked out great. So we'll find out. I guess it comes out this week. Their episode 301, I believe it would be.
Wow. They had a huge following, those guys, and they were so kind to have us on.
Yes.
They so did a kind stand-up to have us show on, at 8.
They also were so kind to talk up the podcast, and they said they were binge-listening on the flight to Toronto, and they really they really became fans of TNT, which is fantastic and awesome. And
that's awesome.
I got to have dinner with them and talk baseball, and they're just really good dudes from Missouri, and even though they're American, I would definitely say those guys are full-on new bods.
Nice.
Yeah, really sweet guys.
So they did a stand-up show at 8 and then a podcast at 10? They're stand-ups, are they? Or they have an act with the two of them?
Yes, they do stand-up, and it's really funny because they have such a similar voice that it sounds like one person.
Right.
And they'll go back and forth, and that they write their stuff brilliantly to kind of have that back and forth quality, and like comparing the conversation back and forth. They did some really funny stuff on the late Rob Ford. It was tasteful, I found. It was really funny. They did a bunch of stuff about Toronto and going to new cities. And if you get a chance to see the Sklar Brothers live, just for their stand-up ability alone, it's worthy of a great night. And then they did
the live. So you went for the whole night?
Yes.
Then Sean Cullen was there too, right?
Yes, they did the podcast after, and Sean Cullen was there, and he was funny. He really, I was impressed. He did this Van Morrison thing, and the Sheepdogs were there. God love them.
Man.
Saskatchewan's own, great boys, Ewan and Ryan and the fellas, and they killed it. They played acoustically, and they did this one thing with where Sean Cullen does this Van Morrison impersonation, and I don't want to even attempt what he did, but he just basically kind of, you know how Van Morrison tends to say the same thing over and over in song, over especially in the earlier days, like the Astral Weeks days, where it's just kind of like walking down the street and he did that kind of a shtick with the Sheepdogs playing acoustic underneath. It was really funny.
Oh, great.
Dying. That's in the podcast, so keep your ears peeled for that. But it was fun. It was a really good night, and it was Easter weekend, so it was not a ton of people there, but it was definitely enough people to have a great night, for sure.
I've seen Sean Cullen over the years in a bunch of different environments, like from hosting kind of Gemini Awards things to doing stand-up and stuff, I don't know that I've seen a more comfortable live performer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he makes improv music look so easy.
Yeah.
It almost does him a disservice because people don't realize what a skill it takes to pull that off.
Well, yes.
And it is a tightrope act, man. It can suck. In the wrong hands, it can suck.
Yeah.
But I've seen him blow the roof off places.
Well, he has that voice, right? That, hello, everyone! Like, it just sounds like he's on stage anyway. So when, and he has,
I know.
He has that hair, that, like, Hamlet hair.
And blue eyes. Like he has he's very pleasing to look at. Well, as weird as that sounds.
He looks like a caricature of that type of person, and he just nails it. Yeah. Kudos. Good stuff, Sean Colin. Good Canadian.
So where'd you go for dinner?
We went to an Italian place across the street. I can't remember what the name. I think it was something Volce. Solid, authentic Italian place.
Soto Volce?
Huh?
Soto Volce? Maybe.
Sette Volce? Sette Volce? Volce.
Volce and Gabbana?
Yeah, that's it. That's the spot.
What did you pound?
I pounded some spaghettini with a rapini vibe. Solid.
Yeah, you did.
Tantric. Went down like sting tantric. Tantric
Yum.
Sex styles. And we had
the way... Bruschetta. On the subject of the Junos,
what?
The Juno Cup is a hockey game played by musicians.
I played
Is
in
that fun?
I played that in, I think, the inaugural one back in Edmonton or Calgary, and it was a blast. It was really fun. And I haven't been invited back. I wonder why. I don't know what happened. I don't know who puts it together, but I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Like, is it full gear?
Yeah,
or guys with no helmets on getting banged up.
It's full gear, and it's with, musicians versus the ex-hockey player. So, like, when I first, my first shift, I think I played left wing, and I go, and I'm right across from me is Lanny McDonald. Like,
wow.
That's who I got to deal with. Me on skates, and then the other left winger, Lanny McDonald. How about that?
Did you drop the mitts?
No, but Tiger Williams was there playing too, and he kept pulling my hair, like chasing me.
Did he?
Yeah, he was chirping me because I had long hair, and then he's like grabbing it and ripping it, and I'm like, dude, I was actually surprised. I was like, this guy's like way into this. Like, he actually wants to beat me up. He's one of those kind of guys, like the big hard edge jokes where you can't really tell, and he's actually seems like he wants to kill you.
Whoa.
And he like doesn't laugh until like afterwards, like in the parking lot. One of those kind of deals.
Wow, just every time he walks in a bar and he's ready to go.
Yeah, and I've actually been in a bar with Tiger Williams, and he's old school. He gets right into it.
So does that mean musicians, like if the Arkells are going to Calgary for the Junos, and they're going to play in the Juno Cup, they have to take a hockey bag too?
Yeah. When I played the Juno Cup, it's funny. I remember Sean Avery was going to send me equipment. And I'm like, okay, perfect. Like the whole thing, a whole bag of stuff. And he like forgot. So I had to go to like Sport Check that morning and buy like a $700-$800 worth of hockey equipment. And the next morning, the bag shows up with all the stuff. So I literally had two bags of hockey equipment to go home.
Tell me you returned the gear you used, you greasy bugger.
I didn't. I took it home.
That's the right move.
Well, it's lazy. I should have gone back and gotten all that stuff, but I was just being stupid and lazy, so.
Well, it's a nice thing they do, and I'm sure the money raised goes to something worthwhile.
Sport Check?
No, the Juno Cup.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Definitely. I thought you meant the
I don't know if the money that Sport Check raises goes to anything good.
No. No, I don't think so.
Let's take a break on TNT 65, and when we come back, we're going to dive right into things. There's a game called Burton for Certain. Jan Arden's doing a Burton tribute. Like, it's a thing.
It'll be a big deal. I'm watching.
Burton for Certain, coming right up. Hang on.
Come back, will you?
And we're back.
We're going to play a game called Burton for Certain, where we've each sourced audio clips. We're going to play them for the other person. And you have to guess if it's Burton Cummings or not. And if you think it is, yes. You say that's Burton for certain. And if it's not, you say no. Did you say that expression when you were a kid? That's hurting. That's hurting for certain.
Well, hurting. I remember that's hurting.
Or like he's a hurting unit.
Yeah, no, I remember all that. But I'm not sure if the hurting for certain, if I went that far with it. But I'm pretty sure I've heard it.
Let's bring back he's hurting. He's a hurting unit.
Yeah, he's hurting. I saw him last night. He was hurting then. He's probably really hurting.
Man, he's hurting for certain. Yeah. Okay, who's going first?
I'll go first, yeah.
Okay. So is this Burton or not? Burton for certain or not?
Is this Burton for certain? This one's audio is a little not so good, but okay. You got to tell me if it's Burton for certain.
Okay.
Here we go.
Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, Little Richard. It was rock and roll, man.
That's Burton for certain.
Isn't that hilarious? Even back then, he's just busting the song.
I think I like Burton Cummings a lot.
And he still does it.
Do the commotion. I love Burton Cummings. You know, he's enjoying a moment. He's getting a tribute at the Junos. Not only is he going, but Jan Arden is doing Burton Cummings.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's a whole
big
thing.
Big year for him. Well, because he was inducted by himself into the Hall of Fame this year. Not he's in it with the Guess Who, but this is... And he's the first one to say no one else has gotten doubles.
Is he? So is this? Year he's getting inducted. That's why it's a big deal.
I think that's why we love him so much is because his ego is like beyond.
Doom dum doodle doodle dum. Okay, you ready? Here's your first one.
Yeah.
Is this Burton for certain? Ready?
Yep.
Here it comes.
The songs. It's the songs. I mean, it sounds, they tell me what to do. I write the song, and then it's better the first time we talked about it, wasn't it?
That sounds like Neil Young.
Yeah, man. Neil Young it is.
Yeah. That's Neil Young for certain.
Attaboy, that is Neil Young.
Nice.
I was trying to find some high registers. Yeah. Like some guys who kind of talk like this. People like our Neil Young speak.
Okay, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Is this Burton for certain?
I'm delighted to hear somebody reads those. I've been involved in putting some out, and some callous publishers believe that coffee table books are merely furniture, that nobody actually reads them at all. But you do. At least you look at the pictures.
Well, the one...
What do you think?
It's not Burton.
No.
It's not Burton.
It's not Burton Cummings, but it's Pierre Burton.
That was a curveball.
Yeah, it was.
So technically, in a court of law, you would be right. It is Burton for certain.
Yeah.
Pierre Burton. That was a good sneak attack, bud. Here's your next one.
It was.
Is this Burton for certain?
I'm very pleased with the production. The band had a good night. And, I thought my night was pretty good, too. And, sound is good, and the look is pretty good.
If you haven't...
Band had a good night, and I was pretty good, too.
That's not Burton, though.
No.
Who is that?
Vanelli.
Gino Vanelli. Nice.
It's actually an interview we should share, because it's 25 minutes long, and it's on, like, a cable access show in the States. And he looks like... He looks like a pirate. He looks like a pirate who went to Vogue Optical and his second pair was free.
He's dolled up?
Well, he has like one of those little, like a flavor saver and then a little chin beard, but it looks like it's Sharpie. Like if you were, like 15 years old and you're working Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney. Like it doesn't quite look real. But by gum, if he isn't a, you know, well-preserved man, he looks...
And we all know how fast Gino Vannelli can grow real facial hair. So yeah, you're not kidding.
So why would he Sharpie it on?
Remember the SCTV skit where I think it's Eugene Levy and he's doing that stop song?
I just wanna stop.
I don't wanna stop. And he turns around and he's got like a little bit of hair on his face and arms, and then all by the end he's a full on like
Teen Wolf styles. That's funny.
Okay, are you ready for this one?
Well, yeah, but I'm all inside my head about it now because it might be any kind of Burton.
I know. Is this Burton for certain? Here we go.
Okay, go.
Yeah, I've done all that. You know, it's... I'm not really into that whole running with the pack scene. It's... I mean, I go to my lawyer's office, I bump into Gregory Peck and Warren Beatty and Steve McQueen and Jesus. Jagger and guys like that. And they're just like anybody else. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
When I first moved there, because I would...
They're just like everyone else. Gregory Peck at the lawyer's office.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that classic?
That's Burton for certain.
Yeah, it is.
Like, the careful there, bud. You dropped about four names in a row. Gregory Peck, who were the other Jagger. Ones?
Huh?
Who were the other ones? Mick Jagger?
Steve McQueen.
Yeah, Steve McQueen. Right.
Like, legends.
Yeah, I mean, they're just regular people. Big. Like, I mean, I see Nipsey Russell around town, and it's not a thing, and Eddie Murphy, and I mean, it's fine, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. All right, listen yeah, it's to
a
classic. This.
This is a new music interview with Jeannie Becker, and she's just playing them right up, eh? She's getting them
She's going. Coating them in saliva.
Totally.
Okay, is this Burton for certain? Take a listen.
The music and lyrics are often written at the same time, so...
Is that Burton?
That's a woman.
Is it?
Wasn't it? Yes. That's definitely not Burton.
Really?
Let me hear it again.
All right.
But sometimes the chords themselves will beget certain words.
Yeah. Beget's a pretty big hit. Who else uses words like that?
Guest?
Beget.
Or guest.
The chords will beget the music.
Oh, wow.
Biblical style.
Who is it?
It's Alanis, bud.
Alanis, my God.
I was like, who is a female that speaks with a kind of lower register voice? Yeah. You're on fire. All right, hit me. Burton for certain.
Burton for certain. Here we go.
Well, within the next few years, from what I hear in the wind, they're going to be able to bypass tape. They are now storing mixes digitally into a computer brain and having a readout so that tape will be eliminated, and you're actually eliminating the middleman so that every record will be sort of like a direct-to-disc pressing. It's a phenomenal step ahead as far as the recording industry.
Classic.
Burton. That's Burton, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he's just like laying on the end of tape.
From what I hear on the wind...
Ish. In the wind. Yeah.
He's a piece of work.
I know.
He's a hurting unit.
Oh, he's Burton for certain, though.
He's Burton unit. He's
you
a Burton unit.
You have another one for me?
Yeah, listen to this. I have two more for you.
Wife pounded on my studio door screaming like a lunatic, and I was afraid someone was breaking into our house, and she grabs me and takes me upstairs, and... Manny singing on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, who is that? That's not Burton.
Isn't it?
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
I am pretty sure. Can I hear it again?
Yep.
And she was so excited she couldn't talk. And though I was very aware of Manny Pacquiao on it, for some reason at that moment I was so worried that there was some kind of drama in my house that...
An interview on the Boxing Channel.
It's not Burton. Who is it?
Sometimes when we touch, the honesty is too much.
And I have Dan Hill talking about his... Is he talking about his a relationship that went awry?
No, he's talking about his duet with Manny Pacquiao. because Manny Pacquiao, I guess, loves the song, and he sang Sometimes When We Touch on Kimmel.
Really?
And then Dan Hill and Manny Pacquiao recorded a duet of it.
Wow.
You ask me if I love you.
That's hurting for certain. That's my
reply. That was not Burton.
That was a good one, though. Yours are way out there.
I know they're way out there because I was thinking, should I do like Lightfoot, who does kind of sound like him? Or maybe I'm the only person who thinks he does. So I was trying to trying to find some higher register folks.
Okay, you ready for this one?
Yeah, hit me. Burton, for certain.
I think one of the problems with historians in Canada is there's no tradition of popular history. And nobody's telling you what it was really like. They're telling you what the great currents in history were. I'm telling you what the smell of things were like, or what people wore, or how they looked, or how they felt. I don't want to sound egotistical here. I don't want to blow my own horn, but I've done the kind of a job that should have been done years ago in this country about this extremely important war.
Pierre Burton.
Yeah.
Nice. You double-banged Burton.
I did.
That's so sneaky, but I caught it that time. I wouldn't have gotten it had you not played the first one. Listen to this. Burton for certain, okay. Or no?
I was, I think, at the Namasimba Child Care Center. It was our last day in Blantyre, and you know, it was a fascinating event to see what you.
So not Burton. Who the hell is that though? That's way out there.
I think you should be able to guess who it is if you listen for another second.
Saw there were kids who were some kids were just kids that were dropped off for daycare, and others were kids who'd lost either one or both parents to AIDS.
Who's that?
Corey Hart?
No, it's Ben Mulrooney on the hour with George Strombolopoulos.
Ben Mulrooney?
I was trying to throw you off the scent.
That's way out there.
I'm going to tell you something. I love Ben Mulrooney. He comes out swinging on Twitter and takes people down
every day
in 140 characters. Like
fighting the trolls.
But like slap your hands, flick them away. Like reduce, reuse, recycle. He destroys them, and I love it. Because
he loves fighting trolls.
He does, but you have the impression that he's like, you know, a perfect gentleman, which I suspect he is. But he also like doesn't take no guff.
Yeah. Well, he's a good sport. I always dig him about his old man, and he laughs.
You know?
He doesn't take it the wrong way, so for sure.
And doesn't his wife style Sophie Grégoire Trudeau?
Does she?
Yeah. Yeah, his wife.
Well, they were buds when they were kids, weren't they?
I guess so.
Because
Mulrooney wrote a really cool letter to Justin that was in, I don't know, National Post or maybe The Globe, just saying, like, here's what I remember about being a kid at 24 Sussex, and these are some things to keep in mind as a dad. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
When we come back from this little break, there's an intimacy kit here at the Red Rock Casino Resort, but it's a deluxe intimacy kit.
How big is it?
Well, it's probably about the same size, but the list of contents is greater. So I want you to try to guess what's in the deluxe intimacy kit. I'm also going to find out how much it costs.
Where are you staying?
The Red Rock Casino Resort. It's 12 miles from the Las Vegas Strip, so I can see the Strip from my window.
Yeah.
But it's not on the Strip. The thing about
Vegas is it looks like it's like a 3-minute walk, but it's like an hour and a half,
I know, right? It's really weird because it's so flat. But it's it's 12 miles away.
And it takes you like an hour and a half. I remember I was in Vegas once and I was playing golf. And, you know, all the golf courses are about that far away from the Strip. And I was like, it was the night of the big Holyfield fight. Remember that huge one? Was it Lennox and Holyfield?
That sounds right.
Anyway, it was like there was traffic, and it literally took like 3 hours to get from the golf course back to the Strip.
I don't enjoy that. I also don't enjoy that it takes 20 minutes to get off the property because all the properties are so big. In a way, this Red Rock Casino it's all on one site, so you can have a couple frosty soldiers and not worry about having to drive anywhere. I find the Strip very congested. I really kind of like this property, if I'm being honest with you. But it also has a deluxe intimacy kit.
Yeah, I had that cab ride. I was I met the most angry cab driver I've ever met in my whole life. Like, he was, made my dad look like, you know, Ward Cleaver.
What was he so angry about?
He was just, he was originally from Brooklyn, and he was just a raging, like, racist and, like, hardcore anger guy. Like, he was talking about how much he hates the Dodgers, and this was in, like, the late 90s or early 2000s, and he was just ripping on the Dodgers, like, when they lose, it makes me cry, I'm so happy. Like, I want to break their fucking faces. Like, just losing it. And it's like, the Dodgers left Brooklyn in 1955, and he was still losing his mind over it.
It makes me want to chew through a bat, like some filthy rat.
No, I know.
Cabs are crazy weird stuff. Interactions.
We gotta take a quick break. I have to pick up my kids.
Okay, bye.
And after that...
You go pick up the kids, and I'm going to shoot some craps. Then TNT 65.
You're
going to
shoot some craps, and then we're gonna play Guess the Intimacy Kit 2.0 right?
Deluxe, and it's
the Deluxe.
Stay with us.
Don't waste my time. And we're back.
Episode 65. It's episode 65.
Let's play. The Intimacy Deluxe Edition.
It's episode 65.
The Sklar Brothers loved the Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, well, that's a. I can't help it. Every time we play a Ponies tune, I can't help but count it in by going, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Really?
Yeah, because that's
do
how.
You do Gordy?
No, songs but that's how Gord introduced every song. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Like the same tempo, no matter what?
Every song.
Even if it's in six, like the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Well, that was probably 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Or he just starts playing and they hop on, but mostly it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, because that's like the folk version of the Ramones. Because they would be like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it would always be a totally different tempo.
So... Fitzgerald's in six.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Maybe he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, it's in 6, 8.
And a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4.
Come on, Barry. Hey, Barry Keane. Oh. Come on, Barry.
Yeah, but Barry's tight, man. Barry's tight.
Yeah, he is. He's so good.
You're going to see David Gilmore, bud.
Going to see David Gilmore tomorrow night at the ACC.
Are you fired up?
How about that? I love David Gilmore. I think he's a brilliant guitar player. Awesome tone, great sound, unmistakable.
And he can fill that two nights in a row?
Yeah, he's a ledge, full-on ledge.
He's a real thing.
He can do, like, Comfortably Numb and then... Wish You Were Here, and then everybody will just buy more tickets.
He could play Comfortably Numb for an hour and Wish You Were Here for an hour, and people would leave happy.
Yep. Maybe pump out Have a Cigar just for kicks.
Comfortably Numb's a great jam.
Well, when he joined that band, he kind of took them up a notch. He had the model good looks, and he was like, took them from kind of like when Syd Barrett was the lead, it was kind of like a weird, twisted pop band, and then I guess Echoes was the beginning of, kind of this big classic, great guitar solos over these, 14-minute jams, He kind of changed the whole perception of that band, so kudos. Let Live in Pompeii, if you get a chance to see that, that's a great flick.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Just them playing in the, empty Coliseum to nobody.
Wow.
It's brilliant.
I feel like I've really seen that.
Done. Yeah, it's a classic stoner flick.
I feel like I've seen that, and big I think time. when you said flick, I was thinking more of a scripted kind of drama, but I think I've seen Live at Pompeii.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just a live show. They do kind of bring in imagery and video to the songs or whatever, but that would be the Italian director dude who was... kind of get his Fellini bits. Get the Fellini bits out!
Have to
so
go
guess Fellini. What I did yesterday.
What?
Guess what I did yesterday.
Pounded some Chicago went mix.
No, I didn't. I went to George Strombolopoulos' place, and the Cult played in his house.
Come on!
How about that? Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
How did the invitation come about?
I just got a text, and he said, hey, the Cult's coming to play in my house. Come on by. And I was like, oh, I got to check this out. So John Tempesta, the drummer for the Cult, is a good friend of mine, so I got to see him and had a few laughs. I watched the Cult play and hung out, and it was good times. Got to catch up with a bunch of friends of mine that are either in radio or media or other bands. There was a lot of people. It was Ram Jam.
Was it?
Completely. Yeah, it was packed.
So, like, how many folks were there? Like, 30 folks? Like, 50 folks?
No, no, probably. There's probably, I'm going to guess there's probably 100 people in his house.
Wow.
Which is insane. Like, it was, like, arm to arm, nowhere to go, in the kitchen watching them play. And, I like, they did the hits. They did, I think they did Wildflower and She Sells Sanctuary. Like, imagine hearing that in someone's house.
Wow.
Across the street.
That's very quite a thing. It feels like, I mean, he was always popular, obviously, but it feels like the Strombo show is picking up steam in a big way because it feels like bigger and bigger names are going to his house.
Yeah, I think, it's just kind of becoming a thing with people going and jamming and playing. It's one of the few music shows nowadays, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of them in Canada.
Right.
Where there's just that old school kind of come over, talk, play some jams, and that's it. So, yeah, he's actually our big competition on Sunday nights with the news talk.
It's true.
At 8 o'clock.
I'm sure we're like eye and eye in the ratings department, too. He's probably hearing footsteps.
Sure. Yeah. I think, the beauty of his thing is it's across the country. So that hour, that 8 o'clock Eastern, that's ours. That's our hour.
That's our real estate.
And otherwise, you can catch it on the West Coast at 9.
Well, thanks to Steve Dillon for sitting in for me last 2 weeks because I was on an Air Canada Rouge flight from Toronto to Vegas Sunday night at 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't do
Steve
it.
Dillon killed it again 2 weeks in a row.
He's great.
He's such a fun dude. Such a nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a come along guy, and up for anything. Happy to be there. Really funny.
Yeah.
But doesn't try to control the room or the tempo. Or he's just great to have around. He's a great dude.
He's become that guy, like, if I'm a couple hours to kill in the city, I'll give him a text and, you know, see if he wants to grab a bite or something.
Oh, really?
Because he lives in the Liberty Village
with
Tim Oxford there. And whenever Tim's not around, I got a speed dial of three people when I'm in the city, and he just made the third. It's my friend Laird White. Have you met Laird?
No.
I think you did at the
Mod. Oh, Lairdo.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lairdo. And then it's Tim Oxford. Laird, Tim. If Tim's in town, I'll go. Or if Laird's in town, and now it's like Steve. I got three options. If everybody's busy,
they're all solid options too. Day.
Yeah, it's great. And Tim's been gone for so long. He's been on the road down in South by Southwest. Started, I believe, and then now I think he's in Columbus today.
Crazy.
Cleveland yesterday.
They're just doing well, the Arkells, man. It's great. It's great to see. They're getting traction down there, as they should. They're incredible.
Yes.
So, like, were there snacks? Was there food at Strombo's house, or was it BYOB?
No, no. He had drinks and food and stuff. It was great. It was done very well.
And it was the afternoon?
It was like 5 o'clock.
And does he have, does he have folks working to help make that happen, or is he a one-man band?
Yeah, he has
band?
Like a crew, a show crew. I think he has about four or five people that tape it, and Colton Eddy helps out with the filming as well. And there's basically, and he's got Mickey Sullivan there. He's got a bunch of dudes that are all kind of part and parcel with the show getting done and the editing and all that stuff. But also there is just a huge amount of bods that were like Jim Richards, our friend from Newstalk 1010, with her. Our boss, Mike Ben Dixon, was there. It was a good bod. There was lots of good peeps. It was fun.
So I wonder if he factors in, like, I know that so-and-so loves the Cult, so I'm going to invite them to this. or I know that Jeremy knows the drummer, so I'm going to invite him to this.
Well, how many, you know, people don't like The Cult, especially, hey, what are you doing after work? Let's just go watch Ian Astbury and Billy Duffy rip into some hits.
And were they happy to be there?
How about this? So this is another part of the story that is pretty funny. Billy Duffy went to the bathroom, fired off a number two, and the toilet was, like, destroyed.
No.
It wasn't flushing. Yeah, so this was going on the whole during the show, like, does anyone have a plunger?
No.
Texting. Yeah.
Did he doing it?
I don't know. I think he just kind of like, hey, something wrong in there, brother. One of those type things.
Oh, no.
And then everybody that went after her was like, what the fuck,
man? No.
Yeah. And so there was about an hour and a half of, like, can't go in there, and then I finally got a plunger, and I did the deed and sorted it out. Yes, because I had to go to the pee, and I didn't want to take a number one on Billy's number two. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh! So he doesn't have another bathroom in his house, or it was like it's upstairs and it's through the bedroom, and he'd rather you didn't go up there.
It was kind of like the basement was like the the backstage kind of area in a sense where the band and stuff were, but. It was condemned from early on.
Wow, that's my worst nightmare.
Saved the day. Yeah, right?
I would never and could never do that.
You couldn't plunge that shit?
No, I couldn't. No, the first part.
Plunge?
No, 100 people in the house, and I'm going to excuse myself and do that? I couldn't do that.
Well, if you're performing and you got to do that, you got to do this. Like, if you're about to go play, you don't want to have that. You want to have your back full of shit when you're doing a show, bud.
I bet you are...
I got an empty my back. That was the most disgusting thing I've ever heard somebody say.
Say it again.
It's like a Norwegian friend of mine. He's like, oh, I have to empty my back.
Oh, gross. Like,
what? That's fucking disgusting, man.
That is a terrible empty my back. Phrase.
So gross.
Barf.
Oh. it just makes it seem so disgusting and big.
Yeah, it goes all the way up your back.
Say it. What do you gotta do?
Empty my box.
I gotta
I have to empty my box. Does someone have a plunger? I have to empty my box. I need some plungers. I don't know. I would play anyway. I could not do that. House full of people could not do that.
Well, it was not like it was kind of the, but it was quartered off in the basement. So it was like their dressing room in a way.
Right.
So there was some privacy. I don't think it was like 50 people knocking on the door while you're going.
That would be like Groundhog Day. You know what I mean? Six more weeks of winter. Sure. That thing would disappear. So then what happens at 6:15 when everybody's kind of lubed up and they've played and it's early evening?
Yeah, that's when I plunge the toilet.
But was there a big, like, we should all go to a thing? Or did it become a rager?
That was it. Well, the band were like, we're going to the hotel because they were playing the Casino-rama today. So, and the crew, I think we're heading up to a really early, good old Gordy stomping grounds.
So is there a tour bus in the driveway?
I think so. The tour bus was around somewhere. The crew bus. And the band were just chilling at the hotel after.
Right. I'm just so, I'm just so into the logistics of, I remember when Guns N' Roses played in Halifax and Mike Smith had the after party and... You know, just the logistics around Axl Rose coming to your house. Like, it's almost rider-like.
Well, he's different, though. He's one of those guys who likes to, like, roll with his posse, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't he, like, I gotta have the top floor of the hotel to myself kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he sounds like a complex cat.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you something. Rolls, though, one of the most... I don't really care... who people are. Like,
yeah.
I really don't. And I haven't met many people that I thought, wow, that person is so impressive to me. But I was talking about this with a friend, Josh from Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievable guy. I met him at Mike Smith's house. When Queens were in Halifax to do a show, I don't know how Smith got hooked up with him. He somehow did, and he had the band over for a lobster boil. And that guy
I've had a lobster boil.
You had one?
At Smith's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember he did it and like Paul Coffey. I think it was around the Junos or something in Halifax.
Right.
And he had a bunch of people over.
Like that.
He's an entertainer.
He is. He really is. And he mix and mingles really easily and well. I'm probably more of a loner in that way. I don't need to. I don't particularly need the party, like the big. Yeah, there's 50 of us. And we're all gonna have a thing. Smith loves that stuff, and he's great at it. Like you say, he's a great host.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had the basement theater and surround sound and a popcorn machine, and like it was just set up for entertaining.
That's it.
But that Josh guy is he's very articulate. He's lightning fast. He's very engaging.
Yeah, smart dude.
Have you met him?
Yeah. We've back in the day, OLP did some show, a couple of festivals with Queens.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
They're one of the better live bands of all time, too. They're just raging heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Intense. Solid. He's a great guitar player, too.
Well, yeah, I would say that generally is probably a little heavier than the sound that I'm into. But went to the show, whatever it was, the night before, the next night, and man, they just melted some faces.
He's also a soldier when it comes to partying.
Really?
Yeah, he'll like take anybody to Chinatown and back.
Doesn't know when to tap out, or doesn't need to.
Well, no, he's just that guy who's still standing. He's one of those guys.
Wow.
I know people that have, I think Dave Grohl, one of the reasons why he couldn't tour with them after a while, just they non-stop like trying to keep up, you know,
and you can't
partying. Yeah,
some dudes just have that though.
Yeah, and I remember the original, the bass player guy, he was like in a whole another level too,
party wise
so yeah, just watch out.
Oh man,
watch out.
You get a couple of those guys in a band and things can come off the rails pretty quickly.
Yeah, like remember Robert Plant, that kind of watch out when he's about to hit the harmonica, and you know the one I'm talking about?
All I can think about is Sean Collin doing Van Morrison. It's really funny.
Bring it all back home, that one.
This is, it's not called an intimacy kit. It's called a romance kit.
Ooh.
And it says,
there's a little more to it.
Well, here's what you need to know. It's a romance kit.
This one might have a French tickler or a cock ring in it, because it's more stuff.
Well, I'll tell you everything it says on it. It's like we had...
I have to guess what's in there?
Yeah, for sure.
How many items?
That's the game. Let me set it up first.
Yeah.
The design on the package is not unlike wallpaper we had in the Torrance household in the 70s, except it was velour wallpaper. Like the kind of regal...
The thick stuff.
Crown, yeah. It's called a romance kit. It's the brand is Temptation, and at the bottom it says Platinum Edition.
All right.
This did not come
cheap. How much is it?
Stand by.
I think it's like 30, 35 bucks.
Wait for it.
Wasn't the other one $25.
It's 25 bucks.
Oh, it's even cheaper, and there's more stuff.
It's called an intimacy kit on the mini bar list, but it's called a romance kit on the box. Because it's more subtle.
Okay.
In it, there are...
How many items?
One, two, three, four, five. And let me just put it all out there. They are not concerned about the cleanup and the mints. This is all for getting into things. Yeah. And I say five, but some of the items are multiple items.
Yes, I got you. So I'm going to guess there's probably maybe three condoms in this one.
Okay, two premium condoms, but yes, condoms. Okay,
two condoms. Lube, for sure. Some Astroglide,
maybe. Liquid Pleasures, personal lubricant, yes. There are three more items.
There's no cock ring in this one?
Well, is that a question this or a statement?
Cock ring in the cock ring or a French tickler is more 70s, but it does have a 70s box. Is there like a special condom with like ribs on it or like a, a whatnot on the end, a little tickler?
Yes, there is. There's an ooh-la-la feather tickler. There are two more items, and one of them you just said.
I'm on fire.
One of them you just said, but it's not called.
The tickler.
No, well, you got that one right, but just before that.
The cock ring?
Well, it's a couple's erotic vibrating ring.
Oh, so it's a vibrating thing
that
goes over whatnots.
Yep. So one, two, three, four.
Wow, that's that.
You're killing it, bud. There's one more thing, and it might be hard.
Is this last thing not in the other one? It wasn't in
It was not in the other one.
So this is a whole new level.
Yeah, it's next level. There's no wipes and mints. This is like, oh, okay.
So there's no hi baby, how you doing? There's none of that.
crunch. No. You know what? This might be, okay, I'm going to have a shower. Why don't you get things started?
Oh, that's what that is. Is it like edible underwear or something?
That's is gross.
It is so gross. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's all crinkly, being dead. All Look what I got.
Ugh.
Is it like a moisturizer or something?
It's mini and it has multi speeds.
Wow. A vibrator.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A pocket rocket?
I guess.
All that for $25?
Yeah, I know. It's cheaper than Shoppers.
Yeah.
If you are at all interested in the type of things that they sell here, the website is newindulgence.com.
Wow.
I might have a look on newindulgence.com and just see what else they offer.
Yeah, because they have so many items for not that much cash.
I mean, I can't imagine it's the highest quality. But, you know, maybe it is.
Like, how long does it vibrate for, I wonder? Was it, you know what I mean? Like, it turns on and it's just bzzz for
12 minutes.
Can you turn it off?
There's the luxury collection, the lover's collection, and the intimacy collection. Small but powerful, an express route to instant seduction. I thought it said reduction. Newindulgence.com is hurting.
Yeah, that's some greasy stuff. I do believe if that was at Caesar's Palace, that would probably cost you $10 more.
You did really well, though.
I feel like I did all right.
That's it, bud. 65's in the can.
Yeah, we're done here, bud.
Burton for certain.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here.
Thanks for listening, bud.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch. Boom, gong, gang, go, get, ding, gong. Ju, boom, bounce. Do, ring, doom, bam, bam, tick, doom, doubt it.